Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is April 7th, 2022. In just about 9 days, Christians all over the world we'll celebrate the holiest day of the year, and that is Resurrection Sunday. It really begins with Good Friday, observing the death of Christ on the cross for our sins, his burial, but then his triumphant resurrection on Easter Sunday. But for centuries now, the Christian religion has been attacked by atheists, agnostics, skeptics, pagans, in trying to make the claim that really Easter is of pagan origin, that the Christian faith has really done nothing but borrow their stories, their gospels from the pagan world, and that it is really not a monotheistic Christian religion, but it's based on paganism. That's been the claim, and every year, especially on the internet, especially on social media, we see these claims raised again and again and again. And most Christians look at this and begin to wonder, well, now, wait a minute, is that really true? Are there pagan stories in the Bible? Have Christians borrowed from the pagan world? Well, that is the claim, and I can think of no better way for the devil to try to stir things up and try to confuse and criticize Christians with this claim. But is it true? And I think most Christians, without a lot of knowledge, would look at this and say, I don't believe this. It's just another way that the enemy every year tries to discredit the person and the work of Christ through these claims. But wait a minute. For those of us that are involved in reaching out to the atheists, to the agnostics, to the skeptics, we need to have answers. We need to tell them why we believe that these accusations have really no basis in reality, that it has nothing to do with Christianity. Christianity is all about Christ. It's not about paganism. And so we need to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. Before I get into answering this claim, I want us to go to Scripture this morning to begin the program. From Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to be reading from verses 6 through 15, and you will see how this relates to our topic this morning. The Apostle Paul is writing to a church that is under attack from Gnosticism. It's kind of a New Age teaching that Jesus is just an ascended avatar, that he's not Almighty God. And there was a blend of mysticism and Gnosticism trying to infiltrate the church at Colossae. And so Paul is dealing with this very specifically. And he says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Easter is about the victorious resurrection where Jesus conquered death, hell, and Satan. But in these accusations against the Christian faith that it has pagan origins, Paul said, relating to this in the teaching of Gnosticism, he says, let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. There's a lot of philosophy out there. There's a lot of false teaching out there that is absolutely doing nothing but trying to undermine the Christian faith. But let's look at the claims against the Christian faith. They begin, that is, the skeptics, the pagans, the non-believers, begin with the word Easter. And they begin to build a case on the meaning of the word Easter. But these origins of Easter are very obscure. It is often assumed that the name Easter comes from a pagan figure called Ishtar, who was celebrated as the goddess of spring by the Saxons of northern Europe. According to this theory, Ishtar was the goddess of the east, from where the sun rises. Her symbol was a hare, a symbol of fertility, and a festival called Ishtari was held during the spring equinox by the Saxons to honor her. So this theory on the origin of Easter really, though, is highly problematic. The major problem with this theory, associating the origins of Easter with the pagan goddess Ishtari, is that there is really no hard evidence that such a goddess was ever worshipped by anyone, anywhere. So, Randy, where did this theory come from? The only mention of Ishtari comes from a passing reference in the writings of Venerable Bede. Venerable Bede was an 8th century monk and a historian. And Bede wrote, Ishtaramanath has a name which is now translated as Paschal Month, and which was once called after a goddess of theirs named Ishtari, and whose honor feasts were celebrated in that month. Now they designate the Paschal season by her name, calling the joys of the new rite by the time-honored name of the old observance. And that's it. This 8th century monk is trying to say that the name Ishtari, associated with Easter, has pagan origins in the worship of this goddess. The only problem is that we have no evidence of this at all. Now, in the 19th century, the German folklorist Jacob Grimm began to research the origins of the German name for Easter. Astern, which in the Old High German was Astara. Both words, by the way, are related to the German word for east. While admitting that he could find no solid link between Easter and pagan celebrations, he made the assumption that Astara was probably the name of a German goddess. Like Astari, the goddess Astara, again, was based on supposition and conjecture. No evidence, just conjecture. And there are no mentions of the goddess in any of these writings. It's a theory based on a word. So we can say while the word Easter most likely comes from an old word for east or the name of a springtime month, we don't have much evidence that suggests anything more. So the word Easter can be a star, and it comes from the east. So assertions that Easter is pagan or that Christians have somehow appropriated a goddess holiday are really untenable. And so this is where the title Easter comes from, the so-called pagan origins, and it became commercialized, and the focus was on Easter eggs, Easter candy, and the Easter bunny. But when you look in the German language more closely, you will find out that the word Astern means much more than that. It means the rising of the sun from the east. And really, that's actually more closely related to what Easter is all about. On the third day at dawn, when the women went to the tomb, the angel said, "He is not here, he is risen." So the rising of the sun from the east, which is really what this is all based on, really points to the resurrection of Christ. Now, but that's not the only claim. There are other claims. The claim is made not only on the name Easter, the fact that there's no evidence, but that it's a pagan holiday because it's springtime observance coincides with those of pagan religions. This is the way this case is made. It's all made on supposition. Well, Christians worship Christ, teach about Jesus in the springtime, the resurrection. Well, but those are the same times that other pagan religions are celebrated. There's these pagan holidays that occur during the Easter season, the day of Bawel, Babylonian, Dark Mother Day, Indian, the day of Fortuna, Roman, the feast of Blagini, Romanian, the feast of Artemis Diana, Greek-Roman, the feast of Tellus Mater, Roman, the feast of Baast, Egyptian, the festival of Ishtar, Babylonian, the feast of Elephobelia, Athenian, and Odin's Day, Norse, just to name a few of these holidays. But now listen to the logic in this. But sharing a date on the calendar is no proof that these two holidays are related. Just to give you an example, a married couple who celebrate their wedding anniversary on October 31st should not be accused of appropriating Halloween just because they celebrate on the same day of a pagan festival. Just because Easter is celebrated during these pagan festivals doesn't mean that Christianity and pagan are somehow gelled together or somehow the origins of Christianity are from paganism. That really doesn't make any sense. But that is the supposition and the claims that are made. And really, in what we're saying here, the claims that Easter is a pagan holiday are based on hearsay. It's based on assumptions and inferences, and there's no hard evidence to back them up. And even if Easter Sunday was a Christianized version of an ancient pagan holiday, it would not mean that Easter itself is a pagan holiday. No one today that I know of is sacrificing to a goddess named Astari or Astara. And regardless of what a day may once have meant, its observance today needs to be evaluated on the basis of what it means today. Christians celebrate Easter. Christians celebrating Easter are no more pagan than the churches who gather to worship on Sunday because Sunday is the day of the sun in the Roman calendar. The pagan origin of the names of the days of the week have nothing to do with the church's weekly gatherings, and an ancient pagan spring festival have no real bearing on the modern Christian celebration of Easter. So that brings me to my point. What is Easter all about? Well, when we look in the Hebrew language, we come up with the word Pesha. It's Hebrew for Passover. Easter really is about Passover. Think with me. We're going to go through some history here. The Passover lamb was the animal God directed the Israelites to use as a sacrifice in Egypt on the night that God struck down the firstborn sons of every household of the Pharaoh. This was the final plague God issued against Pharaoh, and it led to Pharaoh releasing the Israelites from slavery. After that fateful night, God instructed the Israelites to observe the Passover feast as a lasting memorial to his deliverance. God instructed every household of the Israelite people to select a year-old male lamb without defect. The head of the household was to slaughter the lamb at twilight, taking care that none of its bones were broken, and apply some of its blood to the top of the door frame of each house. The lamb was roasted and eaten, and when the death angel would see the blood on the doorpost, they would pass over that house. There would be no judgment, hence the name Passover. God also gave specific instructions to the Israelites and how they were to eat the lamb, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. In other words, they had to be ready to travel. God said that when he saw the lamb's blood on the door frame of a house, he would pass over that house and not permit the destroyer to enter. Any home without the blood of the lamb would have their firstborn son struck down that night. And how does this incredible event apply to Christ? Well, the New Testament establishes a relationship between the prototypical Passover lamb and Jesus Christ, who's called the Passover lamb in 1 Corinthians 5:7. John the Baptist recognized Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the Apostle Peter links the lamb without defect with Christ when he calls him a lamb without blemish or defect, 1 Peter 1:19. Jesus is qualified to be called the apostle. Excuse me, Jesus is qualified to be called the one without blemish because his life was completely free from sin. In the book of Revelation, John the Apostle sees Jesus as the Lamb, looking as if it had been slain. Jesus was crucified during the time that the Passover was observed. And believers, Bible-believing Christians, have symbolically applied the sacrificial blood of Christ to their hearts. And thus, we have escaped eternal death. Just as the Passover's Lamb applied the blood caused the destroyer to pass over each household, Christ applied blood to the lives of Christians, causes God's judgment to pass over sinners, and gives life to believers. At the first Passover, marked the Hebrews' release from Egyptian slavery, so the death of Christ marks our release from the slavery of sin. As the first Passover was to be held in remembrance as an annual feast, so Christians are to memorialize the Lord's death and communion until he returns. The old Passover lamb in the Old Testament, although a reality in that time, was a mere foreshadowing of the better and the final Passover lamb. Through his sinless life and sacrificial death, Jesus became the only one capable of giving people a way to escape death and a sure hope of eternal life. That's what Easter is all about. Easter is not about the goddess Astara and the worship of goddesses and gods and bunny rabbits and eggs. Easter is about the triumph of death, the triumph of Jesus over death, hell, and Satan. Jesus has won. Love has won. He has canceled the debt of sin. He is the great victor. He is the promised redeemer. It's all about Jesus. And let's listen right now to this song by Keith Green as he talks about Jesus being the victor. the powerful praise and music of Keith Green. How I miss him. What a voice for truth Keith Green was. And there is Keith articulating everything I've been sharing with you this morning. This is what Easter is about. Broken lives, for the lives that are oppressed, for the lives that have no hope, that are filled with despair. Easter is about hope again. Easter is about victory again. Easter is about Jesus who conquered death, who bore our sin and judgment on the cross, who gives us forgiveness and eternal life. There can't be any greater message of truth. And wouldn't you know it, if you were the devil, you would do everything you could to undermine that truth. You would do everything you could to keep people in bondage and despair. You would do everything you could to try to make this claim. Well, don't you know, Christianity really isn't unique. You see, that's Satan's biggest lie, because he hates Jesus. He hates who Jesus is. He is the father of lies. So if you listen to these claims, you have no hope. But if you listen to the words of Jesus, you have every reason to hope. Because I live, you also shall live. He who believes in me will never be hungry again. And he who comes to me will never be thirsty again. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. These are words of hope. These are words of truth. And this is exactly what the enemy doesn't want you to believe. And so today, and so for the next couple of weeks, I want you to celebrate who Jesus is. I want you to celebrate light coming into darkness, hope over fear and death, victory over sin and Satan, because that's what Easter is all about. Jesus laid down his life as the perfect sacrificial Passover lamb. He laid it willingly down on a wooden cross so you could be forgiven. There is no greater joy and no greater truth and no greater hope than is found in Jesus. Everything you need is in Jesus. He has the words of eternal life. He has the words of truth. Christianity is not a myth. Christianity is a love relationship with God through Christ. Again and again and again, I say, this isn't about religion. We've had enough religions and enough claims all over the world. The difference is every founder of those claims is dead and in the grave. And Jesus claimed, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he should be dead, he shall live. He has risen from the dead. Christ is risen. This is the gospel. This is the truth. This is what every human being needs. And so I hope that I've answered your question and proved to you why Easter is not a pagan holiday. I hope that you will join me on Easter Sunday and celebrate this truth, this great resurrection of Jesus from the dead for forgiveness of all of our sins. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening to The Cross in the Desert, and I will see you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.